Well, Hearts, thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. But before we get into today's message, which is entitled The Time of the Harvest, I'm going to call you to prayer. We've got a couple in our radio congregation that they're facing a situation, and I found out about it, and I said we'll call the radio congregation to prayer. So I'm going to ask you to agree with me as I pray about this situation in the lives of these who are members of our radio congregation. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of calling you Father. I thank you for the privilege of approaching your throne on behalf of these and on behalf of the kingdom of God. And Father, you know the circumstance. You know the situation they're facing. And I'm asking you in your sovereignty to move in such a way that will not pose a problem for them. I'm going to ask you to alleviate the situation, the circumstance, and bring them peace and comfort, and grant that they suffer no loss whatever from the situation they're facing. So, Jesus, we come before your throne, simply asking you to move as only you can on behalf of these who are members of our radio congregation, and be blessed as you do so, Father. Thank you, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's go to today's message, At the Time of the Harvest. Be blessed as you listen. Our Bibles are open to Matthew chapter 13. Once again, we're going to look at verses 24 through 30. Compromise, compromise, compromise. That's the name of the game today, isn't it? That is the name of the game for so many. Compromise, compromise, compromise. Do we compromise? Are to remain faithful to the Word of God. At issue is the whole ordination of women as pastors and senior pastors. Shall we ordain women as pastors and senior pastors? If I read the Word of God correctly, I think the Word of God speaks very clearly to the issue. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Verse 1, Paul speaking to Timothy concerning church leadership. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. The husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. You see, either you agree with the Word of God and you obey the Word of God, or you disagree with the Word of God, and you disobey the Word of God. Bertha Smith, you've often heard me speak of Bertha. Bertha was a Southern Baptist missionary to China, lived through tremendous, tremendous conflict over there. There were times that she thought she was as good as dead, but God brought her through. When she retired, she came back to the States and went to Southern Baptist churches teaching. I got to know Bertha. I attended her prayer retreat. Bertha was a woman of God, a great, great Bible teacher. But she knew her position. She knew her position. She knew her position in the body of Christ, and she maintained that position. All this seems fairly simple to me. I think the Word of God is very clear. This is a faithful saying. Desires the position of a bishop. He desires a good thing. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, nor greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, but covetous. You know, the Word of God says in Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 10, whatever one is, he has been named already. for it is known that he is man, and he cannot contend with him who is mightier than he. You see, God has known from eternity past what would occur in the life of every individual ever born. Just because God knew a thing to be so does not mean that he meant or chose it to be so. I was thinking about this and talking to the Lord. How many today, I said to the Father, I said, how many today, Father God, are living their lives in reaction to the events in their lives? I've been there. You've been there. We've all been there. There have been those times we lived our life in reaction to what was going on in our life. And I can't undo all that I did. I can't unsay all that I said. But I said to the Lord, praise your holy name, Father. You overcame what I became and made me a new creation. You see, like the prodigal, I went to the pig pen of life. But then there came a day when I wanted to go back home. I went back home, and I was received by my Heavenly Father. I went back home, and I was received. I'm talking to some people today who need to go back home, come back home, and be received. I was forever grateful. I am forever grateful. We come now to Matthew chapter 13. Verses 24 through 30. Matthew 13:24. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Now, in this parable, Jesus is teaching on the satanic invasion of the church. And make no mistake about it, Satan has always assailed and assaulted the church. And to this very day, he continues to assail and to assault the church. It's a parabolic expression of truth, and it has been fulfilled, and it is being fulfilled even today. This parable has been and is being fulfilled. Satanic invasion of the church continues even today. Listen to me, and listen to me carefully. Satan's invasion of the church continues today. It has been in operation since the church was birthed. Since the church was birthed by those born again. I'm speaking of the true church, the body of Christ on earth today. I'm not speaking of man's religious organizations. It's given. It's understood that Satan already has ascendancy there, and Satan is controlling there. Because there's so many of them. But understand this. I am speaking today of the body of Christ on earth today. The church, which is the body of Christ. It is comprised of those who have been purchased by the blood of Christ, adopted into the family of God, are children of God, servants of God, have been born again. Now, some listening to this broadcast are yourselves members of a religious organization. But that religious organization is not the church. The church is comprised of those who have been born again. They are spiritual in nature as opposed to just religious in nature. Did you hear me? They are spiritual in nature, not just religious in nature. Now, many today are involved in any number of religious organizations. Hang any name on it you want to hang on it. There are so many different religious organizations. And many of these will eventually come to a knowledge of the truth and be born again. We've got people attending religious services week after week. Many of them are so faithful in attending the religious service of the religious organization of which they're a part. But the day's going to come because, you see, in those religious organizations, there are those that God has known from eternity past would eventually come to that point in time when they would recognize, I am a sinner. Jesus is the only name under heaven whereby men may be saved. All my religious practices, all my obedience to the rules and regulations and rituals of this religious organization of which I am a part cannot make me right with God. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse me. Only being born again can cleanse me. It does me no good whatever to confess my sins to another sinner, and all other men are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, I'll go to Christ. I will go directly to Jesus Christ, and I will say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want to be born again. I want to be adopted into the family of God. You see, there are those in these religious organizations that God knows who among them is going to come to a realization of the truth and come to him receiving Christ as their Savior and be born again. They will be born again, and they will be adopted into the family of God. I think one of the greatest fields for harvest is religious organizations. I do. I think that's one of the greatest fields of harvest is that all these religious organizations. And another is the organized church itself. We have so many in the church who are members of a local church. They're not members of the church. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the purchased possession of Christ. We have those who belong to local church memberships geographically, but they're not in the body of Christ. They've never been born again. We have those in geographical locations known as churches who hold positions of authority and responsibility and even expressions of ministry in that local church, in that local body, but they've never been born again. Many in these religious organizations have never heard the truth. They have never really heard the truth. They have never been taught as Jesus taught. You must be born again to be in the family of God. You will never get into the family of God short of being born again. You may jump through all the religious hoops you want to jump through. You may embrace all the religious activities you want to embrace. You may embrace all the false doctrine you want to embrace, but that will not put you into the family of God. No. If you're going to get in the family of God, you must be born again. You must be born again. To be received into heaven with the last breath, at the last heartbeat, when you draw your last breath, when your heart beats its last time, if you want to gain entrance to heaven, you have to be born again. You see, there's only two places for a soul to go at death. Only two. Heaven or hell. It's one or the other. Heaven or hell. The teaching of purgatory is a false doctrine of the Catholic Church. And it's lulled a lot of people into a false sense of security, saying, well, okay, if I don't make it into heaven, I'll just go to purgatory and I'll serve a little time there and I'll be punished a little bit there for what it was and what it did and where I went and what I said. Then I'll get out of there and I'll go on into glory. No. That's a lie out of hell. It's not in the Word of God. You can't find the Word of God. I can't find it in the Word of God. I'm a student of the Word of God and I cannot find purgatory in the Bible. I can't, neither can you. You can't do it. That's a false teaching of the Catholic Church. We can now understand this. In the parable of Matthew chapter 13, and beginning now with verse 25, but while men said, but let's go back up first again. Let me start back again up at Matthew chapter 13, 24. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Then he goes to verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. While church leadership and much of the church was asleep and has been asleep, and I'm saying to you this continues today, a great deal of the church leadership and much of the church has been sleeping and is sleeping. And while much of the church leadership was sleeping and is sleeping, and while much of the membership of the church is sleeping, Satan introduced so much false doctrine into the religious community. You see, there are those in the religious community that like to present their religious community as part of the church. Not so. No. The church is the purchased possession of Jesus Christ, purchased by the blood of Christ. It's the bride of Christ. So Satan introduced so much false doctrine into the religious community, and scores of millions worldwide embraced those false doctrines. And they became religious. Oh, they became very, very religious. But understand this. Being religious does not make you born again. Being religious is not equivalent to being born again. You see, once they joined this religious institution, this organization, they were not new creations in Christ. They were not born again. They did not become new creations in Christ. They are with us today. Multitudes today are mixing and mingling with the church. There are so many. Listen, folks, I've been in ministry a while. And as I've told you so many times before, Billy Graham once said that in his opinion, about 85% of the people sitting in churches were not born again. D. James Kennedy, as I've told you, said the same thing. These were men of God. These were men that God used in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. And both of these men came to the conclusion after spending a lifetime ministering and ministering to people who were supposed to be Christians, who found out they were not Christians. They heard the word. They heard the truth. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God moved in their lives and made the word of God quick to them. And they realized, wait a moment. I'm religious. But I'm not born again. That's where Nicodemus was. I use him in so many messages because he's such a classic example of an individual who was up to religion to his ears, but was still lost. They're with us today. They're with us today, multitudes, mixing and mingling with the church, extremely religious, and one heartbeat from hell. Extremely religious, and one heartbeat from hell. Religious children of the devil, not children of God. Yes, they're religious, but not born again. Religious children of the devil. Matthew 13:26. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Now remember, he sowed a garden. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. You see, the agents of Satan mixed and mingled with the people of God in the Old Testament. At Pentecost, when the church was born, Satan wasted no time whatever in seeding the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, with his agents. You've got to understand, you're either a child of God or a child of the devil. And belonging to a church, before you're born again, you may be a member of a local organization called the church, but you are not in the church. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ on earth today. No, you may be a member of a religious organization, but being a member of a religious organization does not mean that you're a member of the body of Christ. At Pentecost, the church was born. That was when the church was born. Now, we had the ecclesia in the Old Testament, but they were under the law. They were under the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. So many religious organizations today have this set of rules and this set of regulations and this set of laws, and if you obey these things, that will make you right with God. No. What that will do is hold you in bondage. It will hold you in religious bondage. It is not that you come to Christ and your sins are forgiven, your past is forgotten, that you understand and embrace the freedom and the liberty and the peace and the joy that is in Jesus Christ. That happens when you're born again. Satan wasted no time. When the early church was born, Satan wasted no time. Christ came out of the tomb. The church has been born. The church is now empowered by the Spirit of God. But Satan wasted no time in seeding the church with his agents. Folks, that practice continues to this present day. Satan is still seeding the church, if you will, the organization known as the church, and he even slips these into those bodies of Christ that are local churches. He even penetrates them with this ungodly seed. And sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult to determine the difference between the tares and the wheat. You see, in the expression Christ is using here, in the parable he's using, they look alike. They look so much alike. You can hardly tell the difference just by looking at them. The tare and the wheat look so much exactly alike. It's difficult to determine the difference. The tares, the children of Satan, not only mix and mingle with the people of God, they even seek and obtain positions of leadership in the body of Christ, the local church, denominations. Let me say that to you slow and surely. Hear what I'm saying. And hear what I'm saying clearly and listen to it carefully. The tares in this parable represent the children of Satan. And those tares were growing in the midst and along with the wheat. They were growing in the same field, growing along with. They resembled the wheat, but they were tares. They were not wheat. They didn't bear the fruit. You see, these servants of Satan involved in the local church, involved in the local expression of Christ, have not the fruit of Christ. They don't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. They're not producing, the Holy Spirit of God is not indwelling them, producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The tares, the children of Satan, not only mix and mingle with the people of God, they even seek and obtain positions in the body of Christ. I say the body of Christ, I'm talking about the local church now. They seek position. They seek responsibility. They want recognition. They are so religious. They seek and they obtain positions of leadership right today. Even today, in your lifetime, right now, in recent years, we have seen denominational leadership. We have seen those expressions that call themselves church. We have seen those expressions of what are supposed to be expressions of the body of Christ. We have seen them fold their tents, step away into the night. We have seen them compromise. We have seen them ordain those that are not ordainable according to the Word of God. They are ordaining to the pulpit those who are not even born again. They are ordaining to the pulpit those who are the servants of Satan. And you cannot have the power of God, you cannot have the ministry of the Holy Spirit in such a situation as that. No, we're called to be holy, separated unto God. What I'm saying to you is that you are watching this nation today. You are watching so much of the organization called religion. You're watching so much of what is called the church, which is nothing more than a religious organization, and yet still and true, some of this has crept into those bodies of Christ. You see, Satan is always trying to filter into a body of Christ, a body of believers. He wants to penetrate, if you will, that body of Christ with his agents in order to weaken them. He wants to manipulate them into positions of leadership within the body of Christ so that he can use them against the body of Christ, and we are watching that happen today in denomination after denomination after denomination. We have seen it happen, folks. This is reality. This is reality. And you have to understand this is reality. And you've got to be aware of what is going on in the world today and in the body of Christ today, how Satan is penetrating, how Satan is getting involved, and how Satan is perverting so much within the body of Christ, and in doing that is weakening the body of Christ so that it is not acceptable in its present condition. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. You see, these people seeking position in local churches, in national leadership positions, Satan wants them in position so he can use them to weaken that expression of the body of Christ. Now the parable continues in Matthew 13:27. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" The servants of the master recognize the difference in the field. Those of us who know the Word of God, those of us who know Christ, and many of us are in positions of leadership, and others of you are in the body of Christ, you may not be in a position of leadership, but you know the difference. You know right from wrong. You know what is godly and what is ungodly. And you know in your heart of hearts that so much of what presents itself as the church today is not representative of Jesus Christ. It's not the bride. It is not of the bride. It is a false representation. And those of you who really know Christ, listen, you need to be praying this. You need to be going daily before the throne of God saying, "Oh, Father God, purge, purify, refine the church. Save those who think they're saved and who are not saved. Bring them to a saving knowledge of yourself. Purge the leadership of the denominations, Father God. Purge the leadership. Purge the membership. And deliver us from the agents of Satan." Father God, the agents of Satan have crept into the church and have thereby disrupted, deceived, and are in their own way misleading and misrepresenting the church, the true church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Sometimes they're not easily discerned. They're not so easily discerned. And that is proven by the spiritual meltdown and compromise by some denominations today. Folks, we have denominations today that at one time were strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. They were strong. They were light. They were salt. They were witnesses. They were strong witnesses for Jesus Christ. And the enemy got in. The tares got in. and the tares received ascendancy in that local church. The tares received ascendancy in that local denomination. And slowly but surely, over the process of time, eroded away the values, eroded away the integrity, eroded away the character of that local assembly, to the point that they embraced that and received that which God calls anathema. God calls it anathema. As Paul said to the church at Galatia, concerning those of such people, they are anathema. Let them die and go to hell. That's strong language. That is strong language. But that's the language that the Apostle Paul used to the church Galatia, speaking of those who had crept into the church and posed themselves as members of the body of Christ. And some had gained access to leadership positions. And Paul said, let them be anathema. Let them die and go to hell, because that's what they are. They are the servants of Satan. They are the children of Satan. And folks, we have that same scenario taking place today in local churches. It has penetrated major denominations in recent weeks. In recent weeks, we have seen another denomination fold its tent, lay down its integrity, walk away from its integrity, and steal away into the darkness of satanic deception. And that's one reason I'm praying. I'm asking God to purge the church. I'm asking God to purge that which represents the church, the body of Christ on earth today. I'm asking God to purge the leadership, because some of these agents of Satan have even made it into a position of leadership within the denomination. They are the agents of Satan, they're the enemies of God, and they're masquerading. They're masquerading. They're deceitful. We need a cleansing of the body of Christ. We need a cleansing of the bride of Christ. We need an empowerment, an enablement of the people of God to understand, to discern, to see. The denomination didn't go to the cross. Jesus went to the cross. That religious organization did not go to the cross. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus went to that cross and took upon himself the sins of each and every individual who would ever believe and receive him. And so much has crept into the church that has never been to the cross, has never been born again, has never been washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes that is not so easily discerned. That's proven by the spiritual meltdown. As I said a moment ago, I say it again. We have seen a spiritual meltdown. We've seen compromise by some denominations. This reality, the reality I'm speaking of, speaks to the lack of spiritual discernment in much of the religious spiritual community of today. What happened to the spiritual discernment? I mean, you have whole religious organizations. You have some in that religious organization that are supposed to have discernment. They're supposed to have spiritual discernment. And yet we have seen them fold their tent. We've seen them compromise. We've seen them embrace that which Satan introduced into the denomination. The servants of this in this parable were concerned. They were concerned about what had happened to the field. And they went to the master expressing their concern, just as I do, just as you need to be doing. We need to be going before the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, day after day after day, expressing our concern about what is occurring in the bride of Christ, the compromise, the concessions that's being made, and the intrusion of those who are the agents of Satan into the local assembly. Not all the local assemblies are the body of Christ, folks. Understand that. Not all in the local assembly or in the body of Christ Only those who are blood bought, blood washed, born again, they are the body of Christ. They're in the body of Christ. They're the children of God. But we have those who have infiltrated the local churches, the denominations, the leadership, who themselves are the agents of Satan. They are themselves the children of Satan. These servants recognize the problem in the parable. I wonder how many of God's people today really recognize the problem. I wonder how many listening to this message today really understand the significance of what has happened in our nation and to major denominations within our nation. And are you giving it to prayer? Is it even a concern? Is it even a concern? We continue now with Matthew 13:28. They went to the master. They wanted to go in and get the tares out. And he said, no. No. An enemy has done this. The servants said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? The master recognized the hand. The master recognized the hand of the enemy in this action. The servants saw what was going on. And they came to him. And they wanted to know what to do. And he told them what had happened. He said to them in Matthew 13:28, an enemy has done this. So the servants replied, well, do you want us then to go in and gather them up, pull them out? You see, the master recognized the hand of the enemy in what had happened. Jesus recognizes. Jesus knows what's going on in the bride of Christ today. He knows the infiltration. He knows the penetration. He knows the compromise. It's so much of the church that doesn't understand that. The servants were ready to take action. These servants were ready to take corrective action. There are those of us in the body of Christ today. We want to see corrective action taken. We want to see a move of God. I want to see a move of God in this nation, restoring godly values, godly standards to every level of life in this nation. I am sick and tired of political correctness. I've had political correctness up to the eyebrows, and I'm sick and tired of political correctness. Compromise. No, no. You see, the servants were ready to take action. We need those servants of God today who hit the prayer closet. And they'll say to the Lord, Lord, we need correction. We need correction, Lord. Purge, purify, refine. I wonder if there are angels in heaven today who would like to take corrective action. God's hand restrains them. God's hand restrains them. I wonder what the angelic force felt and expressed when Christ was on the cross. I have no doubt that the entire angelic force wanted to be released, loosed, to come to earth and wipe out all of evil mankind, those crucifying our Lord and our Master. So the Master responds to the request of the servants. The servant said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? He said, no, no, no. While you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. No. While you're dealing with the tares, the wheat may well be damaged as well. Today, we have both wheat and tares in the church. Not in the blood-bought church, but in the organization called the church. Most likely, in every one, you'll have some both wheat and tares. I thank God I can look at my small congregation. And I told them this past Sunday, I said I wouldn't hesitate a heartbeat to do the funeral for anyone sitting in this auditorium and preach you into heaven. I've seen them for years. Some have been with me for years. I've watched their lives. I've seen them come through the valleys and cross the mountaintops. But there's so many in the church today, in the body of Christ today, have infiltrated the body of Christ. They're not of the body of Christ. They're not in the body of Christ. They're mixing and mingling with the body of Christ, but they themselves are not in the body of Christ. They've never been born again. Today, both the wheat and the tares can be found in the local church. Now we come to verse 30 of Matthew 13. The Master says, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Let them grow together. Let them both grow together until the time of the harvest. When is the harvest? When Christ returns. When Christ returns, the harvest will take place. He says, at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. He's going to deal with the tares, but gather the wheat into my barn. Gather the wheat into my barn. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying today. And I want to make a couple, three, four thoughts in closing this today. In Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, the prophet Hosea, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud. It shall never produce meal. If it should produce, aliens would swallow it up. Let me read you that in the Amplified Bible. For they sow the wind in evil, and they reap the whirlwind in disaster. The standing grain has no growth. It yields no grain. If it were to yield, strangers would swallow it up. Then Hosea chapter 8 and verse 8, Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Do you realize, as best I can determine, there's no trace of the first of the 10 tribes of Samaria? Do you realize that they've been disseminated to the nations of the world and they cannot be located as tribes? The word of God, prophecy, was fulfilled. Israel was scattered among the nations. The northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes, were scattered among the nations, and they remain there today. God had a message through the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 58, 1, said to the prophet cries out, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. That is God speaking to the prophet, saying, spare not, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. God wanted repentance then. God wants repentance today. Folks, our only hope is repentance. I will tell you as clearly and as unmistakably as I can state this to you. We, as a nation, are on a collision course with God. We have embraced too much. We have embraced too much. Too much of what we were has been lost, and too much of what we should not be has been embraced. And our only hope is a praying, repenting church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ on earth today, a praying, repenting church. And I'm speaking to those of you today who claim the name of Christ, and I am saying to you that our only hope is to be praying, repenting, because I don't know what his judgment is going to look like. I just know that we're on the leading edges of his judgment. Rest assured, without repentance. And folks, this nation is sinking deeper and deeper every day of the world into deeper sin. We are embracing things that once would have made the nation blush. If she could blush, this nation would have blushed. But today, we're being embraced. It's being embraced at every level of life. It's even entering into and penetrating expressions, religious expressions. That's where we are. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does that not describe this nation today? Does that not describe much of this nation today? Unfortunately, that describes, to some extent, some of the religious organizations, religious system of today. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, prophesying concerning the last times, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. This is Peter prophesying, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Folks, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. I'm not an alarmist. I'm not a sensationalist. I'm a biblicist. I'm a preacher. That's all. Just a preacher. But I'm a representative of Jehovah God. I represent Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm an ambassador for Christ. And I'm talking to people today. Many of you know exactly what I'm saying. And many of you share the same concerns I concern myself with. Many of you see the condition of the nation. And many of you thinking this thing is hopeless. This thing is hopeless. No, it's not hopeless. It's not hopeless until the judgment of God falls. And until the judgment of God falls, see, sometimes it starts out with a little bit here and a little bit there. A little bit here and a little bit there. And God waits to see, do I hear some repentance? Do I hear some repentance? If I hear repentance, I can stay my hand. If I hear repentance, I can withhold that which I had planned to do. Does he hear repentance from you? Does he hear you talking about the nation? Are you discussing the nation with God? Are you discussing the condition of the church in the nation today with God? Are you talking about a backslidden, lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, only fit to be spewed out of his mouth, vomited up? Are you? Because so much of what professes to be the church, so much of what professes to be the bride of Christ is not the bride of Christ, is not the church, but the true church has to recognize what's going on. And so much today, so much of the religious community today are ignoring reality. They are ignoring the reality of what the Scripture says about the last times and about how God will deal with sin. In closing, let me go to Luke chapter 8, verse 4. One of the greatest sermons, he never preached a light sermon, but this is considered one of the greatest sermons Jesus preached. And when great multitudes had gathered, And they had come in to him from every city. He spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among tares, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop of 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." As I recall, he made that comment some, I think, 7 or 8 times in Scripture. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I hope you have ears to hear. I hope you have ears to hear. I hope this message today has fallen on good ears. The church and the church in this nation need prayer. The church needs prayer. And the church in this nation needs prayer. We need a move of God stirring the hearts of his people to repentance, holiness, separation from the world, consistency, commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, I've preached it as you gave it to me. And now I'm asking you to take it and use it, I pray, in some way to advance the kingdom of God, do damage to the kingdom of darkness. And Father God, be glorified. Be glorified in the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church. Be thou glorified. This I ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Father God, we've seen so much of a meltdown in recent years. In denomination after denomination, And Father God, compromise is the language of the devil. You know that, I know that. Compromise in the Word of God and with the Word of God is the language of the devil. But Father God, so much has been embraced by those institutions that refer to themselves as religious institutions, who present themselves as part of the church, who are not part of the church. Father, so much of that which is religious is not part of the blood-bought, blood-washed body of Christ. You know that. I know that. And there are many today who know that. Oh, Father God, political correctness is a sin. It is a sickness of Satan, a disease of Satan that has penetrated so much of the life in this nation, has penetrated the life of the body of Christ in so many respects. There's been so much compromise, Oh, Father God, how we need a move of your Holy Spirit in this land. We need a move of your Holy Spirit, purging, purifying, cleansing. Father God, purging the body of Christ, purifying the body of Christ, cleansing the body of Christ. And Father, there are those in religious organizations who truly want to know you. They truly want to be one of yours. They've just been misled. They've been mistaught. I'm asking you to penetrate the darkness of their religious indoctrination, penetrate the darkness of religious propaganda, and penetrate that darkness with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love of Christ and the light of the gospel. Help them understand they must be born again. They have to become new creations in Christ Jesus. They must yield themselves to you, that confessing their sins to any man will not get their sins forgiven. No, they have to come to you. Come to you, Father God, saying, "I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I have sinned." And, oh, Father God, those whom you have known from eternity past would come to that conclusion and pray that prayer. My Father and my God, bring them out of those religious organizations they're in and take them into a church, a blood-bought, blood-washed body of Christ, and let them be discipled. Let them become strong in the Lord and the power of your might. And let them be salt, let them be light in this sin-cursed, sin-darkened world we live in today. And Father God, if you'll do this, we will give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, folks, continue to pray, asking God to destroy the strongholds of Satan in the religious organizations and the religious life of this nation. Ask him for a fresh move of his Holy Spirit in the Senate, in the House, in the White House, in the Supreme Court, in the governmental agencies of the states. Ask him for a move of his Holy Spirit, burning out the dross, burning out the dross, and quickening those who are of himself, that they might be salt, they might be light, they will not compromise, they will stand firm on the word of God. Pray that in Christ Jesus' name. Until we get a chance to get together and do this again, be ever so blessed, be ever so blessed.